Good morning.
Good morning.
I forgot to say it last week. You guys got all over me. I'd had too much espresso. Was ready to go. But we're doing a series, and we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount, which is the greatest sermon ever, but that gives you high hopes for today on my sermon. I'm not saying mine's the best sermon ever, but it's Jesus' sermon, so they call it the best sermon ever. And so we're going through this, we're breaking it down, and we landed right now on the Lord's Prayer. Now, most of us, if you grew up going to church at all, you kind of know it a little bit, no? Or you, even if you went, I remember sporting events, we'd always chant it like it was some magical saying, like maybe if we were more sincere in the Lord's Prayer than the other team, we would win. I don't know how that works out, you know. Anyway, it's something that maybe you've heard a lot. I do it a lot at funerals, and I'm surprised sometimes at how many people will kind of know it. And I have to admit, now you guys know I like contemporary translations, right? But when I say the Lord's Prayer, I kind of think of it in sort of a King James-ish language. So if I slip back and forth, you'll see what I mean. But we're going to read it in a moment here in a more modern translation, so it might sound a little different. Now, here's the thing. Somebody posted, I forget who, probably one of the Justins, about, you know, what are things your pastor says? We'll throw the other Justin under the bus because he's not here. Shout out to Justin. But, you know, someone posted, what are the things your pastor says all the time? Now, there was quite a little list starting. There were some that you know, I do occasionally say on occasion. I was actually surprised some of the ones that were missing. And I think today is one of those things that, honestly, if you've been here a while, you've heard me say these things. Because they're central in their core to what it means to live as a believer and a follower of Jesus. Because when you live and follow Jesus, it means your character has to be transformed and changed, and you become someone different. Now, there's a lot of people out there, you know them, that they say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus at church, but they live a very different way outside of church. They'll cuss you out wearing the church shirt, you know, but some of you, you know, I know you're wearing the deep water shirt. You're at Walmart. I'm not going to call out names, but the only thing keeping you straight is, oh, I'm representing Jesus today. But the truth is, our character has to be changed and transformed as we come to know Christ. So this is one of those, it's a big thing, because it's a hard thing if we're honest. Because it's one thing to say this, it's one thing to preach this, it's another sometimes to live this one out. Now, if you looked ahead or you said the prayer in your head, you know where we're landing. And so I'm going to pray the whole prayer, and then we're going to backtrack a little. So Matthew chapter 6 says, starting verse 9, says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we eat. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So verse 12, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Now King James, NIV, ESV, etc. will say debts. Now that's a great sermon. I borrowed $20 from Bob earlier. Forgive us our debts as we, you know, so you can't ask for that $20 now back, or should have borrowed $100, man. You know, and it doesn't mean, if you're working for a mortgage company, you pray this, you're like, oh, shoot, I have to forgive everyone's mortgage. I wish it worked out that way. But really, the thought, and why you get this translation of debts, is sort of the thought of a sin is a debt against somebody else. And so it's really talking about your sins against one another, even though we might say, forgive us our debts as we forgive those. Anyway, forgiveness is not easy though, right? It's one thing to say it. It's another sometimes to do it. Now, I think about it. What if God answered that prayer, verse 12, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us? How would we fare? Because we want forgiveness, but sometimes it's a little harder to forgive other people, right? especially when they've wronged us in some way. Like yesterday, I was sitting at a wrestling tournament all day. I wasn't wrestling. I'm old and broken now. But it was in this big place, and there was AstroTurf everywhere, so we couldn't really put chairs out there. So I was like laying on the side of the mat. It felt good. It was nostalgic, like the old days when I'm right up there, you know. And so we're sitting there chilling. I'm hanging out, and I'm you know, and this kid comes by who's on our team and kicks my foot by mistake. Now, if those of you know my continuing saga of many, you know, problems, my ankle is sprained, my knee hurts, and so he kicked the bad leg, and I mean, I screamed out in pain because it hurt, and I'm not tough anymore. I was tough when I was younger, you know, but I quickly forgave him. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, it's okay, you know, you didn't mean to do it, and so it's easy to forget that, you know, that you know, he doesn't, you know, I'm not thinking about that today, well, a little bit because it hurts, but I'm not going to be thinking about that a week from now, except maybe to use it as an example sometime in a sermon somewhere, because that's what we do. We're pastors, we're always thinking, this could work in the sermon. But, you know, it's easy to forgive some little things like that, but most of us probably have some things that, in ways that people have hurt us, that it's hard to let go of, that we want to hold on to, that honestly, if we're honest, when we pray this prayer, we're kind of thinking, you know, forgive us our sins, but I'd kind of like to hold on to these things against somebody else. And right now, most of us, you know, you might even be angry at your spouse, and they're sitting next to you. And now there's this awkward, nobody wants to look at their spouse because they're like, am I acknowledging what Jeff says is true? And, you know, there are times, though, you know, I do a lot of premarital counseling, and we talk about, you know, how to fight fair. We do conflict resolution stuff because if you're married, you fight. And sometimes, you know, you get angry. You know, most of us have someone that we struggle to forgive. Maybe even yourself, you somehow struggle to forgive yourself. And, you know, God's grace stops when it gets to this sin in my life. And many of us have things in our life that are hard to forgive. And some days are better than others. There's days where you think you're over it, and then it kind of sneaks back in. Some of you know what I mean. It's like you're thinking you're good with that person, you're good with that person, you've forgiven them, and then you run into them at the mall. We've only got one mall. It's Dover. It's a small town, so you're going to run into them. You run into people everywhere you are. You could be, you know, we've had people on vacation run into other people from the church, and we're a small church. But, you know, it's a hard thing. And so in Matthew, a little further down, in verse 14, Jesus kind of follows this up. So this is like a follow-up to the prayer. He says this in 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, this is one of those things that at times I want to put into the category of things I wish Jesus never said. Because I know some of you that might sound sacrilegious, but because it's sometimes hard to live out. Forgive, you know, so if, you know, I had people who say they're followers and believers of Jesus, and they revel, they enjoy this anger, and like, I'm never forgiving them, and I'm thinking, well, you know, the Bible kind of comes out clearly that that's not a good idea, so maybe we should do that, but forgiveness is both vertical and horizontal. Forgiveness comes from the Father. But then that means that we live in this, we forgive others horizontally, those around us. And so, you know, ultimately, and this is one of the, I don't think anyone said this in the many things that Jeff says all the time, forgiven people forgive other people. Did anyone write that down yesterday? Because you didn't want to. No, I'm kidding. because ultimately, you know, Jesus wants reconciliation. Jesus wants us to forgive others. But we often want to hold on to that ourselves. Here's some of the examples I use for, you know, unforgiveness. Don't worry, the zit one's coming. But, you know, it's like a respiratory infection. I get those in the winter a lot of times. And you can look healthy on the outside, but inside you're full of lung butter and phlegm. Forgiveness is like, you know, a zit in the nose. Your nose zit, you know, people can't notice it sometimes, but it hurts, right? You ever had one in there? And you can't pop it because you can't get your fingers in there. But, if you have unforgiveness, it swells up, it causes pain, but sometimes we can't see it. And I always think of it, it's like this. Forgiveness is like, some of us like to hike and camp and things, and we've been on some trips where, you know, you put a backpack on, and, you know, when people are inexperienced hikers, they pack everything, right? There's even a place there on the Appalachian Trail where people start ditching all the gear they thought they needed, because when you start hiking, you're like, I can carry this 80-pound pack. And then you hike 10 miles and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't think I need the extra hammock. and so you start to shed gear, and life's like that, because we often carry more than we think. It's like girls on a missions trip. It seemed like I don't mean maybe gender or whatever, but every time I went on a missions trip when I was a youth pastor, like we'd go on like a trip, and it was like the guys, I would always say, like, you're only allowed one small duffel bag, because we calculated how many people and luggage could fit into a thing, and I'd always have at least one girl show up with that giant suitcase that can't even be checked aboard airlines anymore. I'm like, I don't know what you're carrying. We're going to serve, not wear sundresses on the beach. I don't know. but you know, it's like often it's something that really just weighs us down. But we tend to hold on to things. We tend to want to. And so to not forgive is to not really understand really the core of Christianity. It's about Christianity. It is the core of it all is forgiveness. Now, Ephesians is, we're going to land there for a bit. It's one of the best ways to sort of flesh this out. And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. They call it the book of Ephesians. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. So you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature, but by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. So, at one point, if you're a believer and follower of Jesus, at one point, you were still stuck in your junk. You're stuck in your sin. There's this garbage, this way of living. But Paul's describing what then happens afterwards. He says, but God is so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of his incredible wealth of grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ. And so we are examples, we are trophies of his grace. And ultimately, it's not grace if I have to earn it. Salvation's free, which is hard for a lot of people, that it's just by faith and trust in Jesus that I'm made right with him. Now, that will change the rest of your world. You'll live for different things. You'll live in different ways because you're a follower of Christ. But it's purely by grace that we're forgiven. But the thing is, some of us, even though we're forgiven, we sometimes struggle to forgive others. Kind of skipping ahead to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, says, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. For since you have heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So one of the things about coming in and becoming a believer, following Jesus, we throw off our old nature, we put on our new nature. It's like old clothes versus new clothes. And there's a way we used to dress. Now, we all have fashion regrets, right? Anyone? Can't see that on the camera, but for those of you in the front row, Bob. those of us who were in the 80s, do you remember parachute pants? Do you wish you could forget parachute pants? Hammer pants. I was going to dance, but, the carpet makes it hard. Short 80s shorts. I remember when I found those. I was going to Boy Scout camp with the boys. I'm like, oh, good. I still have my Boy Scout shorts. They go to here. I don't know what we were thinking. I did not wear them to camp. Nobody needs to see that. Josh said I could wear, sometimes it's hot, and Josh said, you could wear, shorts, Dad. I'm like, nobody wants to see these legs. So but we all have, members only jacket. Anyone still have one? You the last member? or newer things, JNCO jeans. It's like skirts for your legs, each of them. It's like the complete opposite of the skinny jeans today, which will never go out of style. I always remind my kids that the cooler you look now, the stupider you're going to look in your pictures later. So, fortunately, cameras are so hard to find these days. There's going to be lots of funny pictures. You know, it's funny because now fashion is really international. Like when you travel, like I remember I was in Ethiopia. I'm in this big church in Ethiopia, and they're singing Ethiopian music because they've kept that Ethiopian music. But the worship leader was wearing skinny jeans and a V-neck T-shirt. I had to laugh because that tends to be, you know, that and a faux hawk they have, you know. But anyway, whatever the thing is. But anyway, you know, we all have fashion regrets. We have thing, and that's really, you know, think of old life as fashion regrets, bad decisions, you know, ways of not living. But, you know, in Christ, we put on new clothes. We take off the old, we put on the new. It's not who you are anymore. It's who you were, not who you are. And so the old life is who you were. It's not who you are. And so in Christ, we change. We become different. The thing is, some of us, we don't change though, right? You ever notice some people when, you know, their fashion sense stopped at a certain age? You know, some of you are looking at me going, yeah, we know exactly how old you are, you know. But you know, you know, it's like you kind of wear clothes that are, you know, I've gotten to the point, I can't keep track of what socks are cool anymore. Like, you know, in my day you had long socks, and then it was like long socks had to be pushed down, and then it was like everyone was wearing like those little nubby socks, and then it was like the no-see-em socks, and now the kids are wearing like long, tall socks again, pulled up. I'm like, that was like cool 40 years ago, and you know, you made fun of dads on the beach wearing that, and now you're wearing sandals with socks again, and I don't know what's going on. But, you know, it's hard, you know, but a lot of us, we stop where we are fashion-wise because it's comfortable, right? And a lot of times we hold on to things in our old life because it's comfortable. And one of those things is unforgiveness. As uncomfortable it is, like that zit in the nose, on the other hand, it's hard to let go because that's the way we're used to living. You know, we don't want the fancy new stuff. We'd rather, you know, got nice new skinny jeans, but we like our JNCOs. you know, we got a new shirt, a new way of living, but we want the one stained with pizza. Because we're kind of, used to this. And it's really, if we live in the way that we lived before, it's like, it's like working out. Now, when I work out, I sweat a lot. You know, some of us, we do some road biking and stuff. We stink afterwards. You know, I stink after workout. I have about a gallon of sweat come out of my body. Just wanted to share that all with you. But point being, I stink. Now, if I were meeting with one of you and, you know, it was going to be after my workout, most of you would probably be excited if I, you know, just changed and put on new clothes, right? No, you wouldn't. You know, and it's like keeping your old clothes once you're in Christ is like taking a shower and then putting back on your old workout clothes. It'd be like me showering and then putting on the workout clothes I'd just been in, right? That'd be, it's disgusting. We wouldn't do that. And it's the same in Christ. It's we have to let go of the old and we change. Now, this is all kind of setting up this. So here we go. Verse 26. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Anyone ever get controlled by their anger? Even if you kind of keep it hidden from everyone else? Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. It's one of those things. Devil, old master. Remember the first part of Ephesians? But we give Satan, it's the word there is actually adversary, which is where we get the term Satan. It's give the adversary space in our lives. We lease out this little section for him. We give him this foothold because, you know, we don't want to let things go like anger. Verse 30, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You know, we're identified by him. We're saved. We're stamped. I always think of Toy Story. I haven't seen the newest one, but you know, when he writes his name on the bottom of his foot, you know, because it's like, you know, you're identified, that you're stamped. And so when we do that, then we live differently because of whose we are. Now, I have certain expectations on my kids because they're my kids, you know, and they embarrass me when they act certain ways. Now, fortunately, I have good kids. They don't misbehave at all. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, there's expectations. And it's the same with God. If we're saved, if we're made right with him in faith, then our lives look different. And forgiveness, anger, that's one of those things where Christians have the ability to look a lot different than the culture. It'll be a witness to the culture because forgiving can be difficult. And it says, and do not bring sorrow on God's Holy Spirit. Remember, he has identified you as guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. See, I think it's all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slanders. If we don't get rid of unforgiveness, the external things are, rage, anger, harsh words, slander. But if we don't get rid of the bitterness in the first place, it tends to kind of fester like a boil and then eventually blow up. I mean, it's all zit analogies today. But we tend to clam up and just hold it inside. You can even smile with it when you're holding it inside. Or you can blow up on people. But if you don't get rid of it, it does damage to you. Some people say, I will love and forgive my family and friends, but there's some others I won't forgive. I actually have these conversations with people sometimes. And Matthew 5, you remember that? It was just a little bit before this in this thing called the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard it say, Paul says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In this way, you'll be acting like true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives son life to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so we can still seek justice, but there has to be this forgiveness. And if you ever see this story, Unbroken, Louis Zamperini, I think is how you say his name. I can't say it. It was a great movie. But if you watch the movie, it's basically he was just treated horribly as a prisoner of war. And honestly, he got really bitter and angry. And some things that don't make the movie is, he ended up turning to alcohol. It wrecked his life. And then God kind of, at a Billy Graham crusade in 1949, again, not in the movie, but it changed his life because when he became a believer and a follower of Jesus, he could forgive. And ultimately, he goes back and he forgives his captors. And it's difficult for us because I think outside of Christ, that's real hard, right? It's been said that forgiveness is like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. Because when we don't forgive, who's it hurt? Us. Forgiven people forgive other people. Hate destroys us, forgiveness heals us. When we don't forgive, we're letting other people's behavior destroy our hearts, and then they win. See, I'm competitive. I think of it this way. If people do me wrong and I hold it in, they win. So, by letting it go with Jesus' help, we can win. Sometimes we let the hate affect us. We give people the power over us to those who hurt us. Sometimes they could care less. They've moved on. And often that's what people wanted. And so when you don't forgive, they win. If you're competitive, maybe you can think of it that way. Here's the crazy thing. Like I was, this week I was thinking about stories of forgiveness, and we were driving up through Lancaster, so I was thinking of the Amish schoolhouse shooting. Remember that one? It was horrible, but you read some of the stories that came out after that, the mom of the shooter, they held this kind of private funeral. The Amish people all showed up, and she was kind of like, she didn't even want to face her Amish neighbors, but they showed up, and then there's this bond of love, and she actually cares for one of the victims on a regular basis, and, it's because the Amish, powerfully live out that forgiveness thing, man. It's hard. I remember there was some church fires here, remember, in kind of the Felton area, and it's like, because we're connected with a lot of those churches, we all got together, and we were, praying, and the other thing that came out of, everybody's mouth was pray for those people, forgive those people. Yeah, we wanted to catch them. We wanted to have churches stop being lit on fire. But, it was love and grace. And that's just, it's just a different way to live. And, you know, some of you, you remember, you've seen Hotel Rwanda or, you know, that the genocide. There's actually a link in the YouTube, a YouTube link in the thing today on this woman who's forgiving people. You know, her family was slaughtered, but she forgives. Man, that's hard. You know, you're having trouble forgiving the person who stole your parking place. You know, that's a big, serious thing. And then it's like there's the Charleston church thing. Remember? That's hard. You know, those, you know, Pittsburgh synagogue. That's hard. And here's there's a lot of horrible things. I started Googling it, and I'm like, man, there's just too many things. And that's even when you get outside of the individual things. But here's the thing. Hate is too great a burden to bear. You know, and so we have to let that go. Now, here's the thing. Anger and unforgiveness, though, in the midst of your pain, is like a baited hook. Because it seems like a good idea, but it's going to hurt you. You know, I like to fish, you know, sometimes, and you bait that hook, and, you know, you throw it out there. I'm sure a fish is coming along going, oh, great, a worm! You know, next thing you know, sorry if you hate fishing, but, oh, you know, ow, that hurts. Now I'm dinner. Except in Delaware, because you can't really eat the fish. unless you want to grow a third eye, like the fish. But you know, it unforgiveness is like a baited hook. It looks good. And you think it's going to bring you, you know, enjoyment. To, you know, I'm not going to forgive them. But ultimately, it causes you pain. It hurts you. Forgiveness, now here's the thing. I say this every time because people have taken this teaching and gone the wrong way. Forgiveness is not always restoration. If someone's abusive in your life, you may forgive them, but it doesn't mean you got to stay there. And that's a whole other conversation. If you need me, call me. the thing is true, if you know somebody and you forgive them, and then they sin again against you, what's the reaction? You know, two strikes, you're out. One strike, you're out. It's like a shortened baseball, abbreviated version. You know, I forgave them once, but they did it again. Oops, they did it. Anyway. Matthew 18:21, when Peter came to him, Jesus, and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? That seems generous, right? I'm going to forgive somebody seven times. Some of y'all don't do one. Maybe you won't do two. Maybe you'll give them baseball, give them two, three strikes, you're out. But, you know, Peter's like seven times. And Jesus says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, before you get out your calculators and try to figure out how many times you got to forgive people and start a spreadsheet so you can keep track of people, the point is, it's just, you know, God's forgiveness is unlimited, and so should ours be. Jesus then he tells a story about a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in, owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered to be sold along with his wife, his children, everything he owed to pay the debt. And we've told the story before, but if you listen to the rest of the story, if you hear that, you know, this guy owes millions. You know, and he appeals to the master's grace. He says, please don't do this, you know. And the master goes, okay, you know, you're off the hook. Your debt's forgiven. It's because he'd beg and he'd begin to forgive it. And then when he leaves, he found a guy who owes him like a couple $1,000s. And he threatens him, and the guy won't give him the money, so he sends him into prison. And the word gets back to the guy who just forgiven millions of dollars debt. And he's like, hey, I just forgave you millions, and you're holding this thousands against somebody? You know, then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid the entire debt. So, you know, he was forgiven, but then he didn't forgive, and then he pays the price. It's so, you know, forgiven people forgive other people. And as we experience forgiveness, we learn it's possible to forgive other people. And sometimes, you know, I think it's because sometimes we don't understand our own sinfulness. It's easy for me to look at you and tell you how you sin. I got a list. I got a spreadsheet. I got a note. And I'd like to come up afterwards. I want to list for you all your sins. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, it's, you know, I'm going to go to Luke because it's one of my... Yeah, one of four favorite gospels. Yeah, you know, if some of you were following the Facebook post, get it. others don't want to. But, you know, there's this story in the Bible, and this woman comes, and she is, you know, we've told this story. You can read it in Luke chapter 7. And this woman comes, and she is weeping, slobbering over Jesus' feet. You know, she's so broken when she's there. She's pouring perfume on it. I guess she didn't think ahead, didn't bring a towel. She's like wiping his feet with her hair. And it's kind of this crazy scene because they're just having dinner. This starts going on. And it's like, I mean, this is like reality TV at its earliest and its finest. I don't know. There's this, you know, he's like, you know, the guy who's the host is like, if this man were really a prophet, you know, he'd know what kind of woman this is. And so everyone's kind of, you couldn't miss this scene, right? And right in the middle of it, Jesus goes, hey, do you see this woman? It's like, yeah, who doesn't see this woman? Like, you know, like, seriously? And Jesus says, I tell you her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And the men at the table said to themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? You know, because they're looking at, you know, they're looking at their own stuff and not seeing it. Now, the other day, I entered a parking lot. I knew it was one way to the left, but I didn't feel like waiting. I didn't feel like driving all the way around. So I'll be honest. I'll be frank. Hopefully I'm not dishonest with you. But since there wasn't a lot of traffic, I knew the time of day. I went in the outdoor. I went, and so I just kind of, and I only had to go just a little bit and shoot over to park. This lady's looking at me. And as I pull in, I'm like, I know, I went the wrong way. I'm like, but you're parked in the fire lane. You know what I mean? Because, like, she could see my sin. My problem was, like, I was going the wrong way, but she was parked in the fire lane. In fact, she made it harder for me to get into the spot because she was in the, you know, and I thought it was funny, and I laughed. And yesterday, I'm trying to back out after the wrestling tournament, and this car's right up against me. I mean, I almost... I was like, what are they doing parked there? And, you know, then they finally moved on. I realized someone was going the opposite way in the parking lot. I'm like, that moron, why are they driving the wrong way in a parking lot? And then I'm kind of, oh, yeah. See, like, when you're parked in the fire lane, you might be annoyed at the people who, you know, are going the wrong way in the parking lot, but you got your own stuff. You know, and when you're you know, trying to back out and you see that person going the wrong way in the parking lot, you might be annoyed, but you forget you do that same thing. And a lot of times it's easier for us to see other people's sin. It's easier for us to see their garbage, and we want forgiveness for our own, but we don't see our own half the time. You know, and so, you know, Jesus said, you know, to the woman, your faith has saved you, go in peace. We don't see our own stuff. We don't see why we need forgiveness. And if we really saw all the many ways that we've sinned against God, against other people, and then we see the way we're forgiven, we're better able to forgive other people. And it takes God's grace. It takes His Holy Spirit. It's not, this is like Christianity 101, in that it's the basic things about following Jesus, be like Jesus. But it's also Christianity 401, 501, master's level class, because it's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to forgive other people. I want to hold on to my anger. It's hard. And there's some people, some things you'll let go, no problem. There's other things that you'll struggle with. I think sometimes forgiveness is an event and a process, because you can forgive, but it sneaks back in. You know, like, there's people who have really wronged me in many ways, and some of you, I want to bring it up to you later. No, I'm kidding. You know, but it's like, there's people who have wronged me. And, you know, I forgave, and then it kind of, it's a process, and you're like, okay, I forgive them. Then you have a dream. They show up in the dream, and you're mad at them in the dream. You're like, man, I thought I was gone. And so it's this, you know, I think grace is leaky. We're all like leaky buckets. It's kind of pouring out. That's why we need more Jesus. That's why we come to church, get more Jesus. You know, it's like why we read the Bible and study and pray, because we need more. It's leaking out. And so we'll struggle with forgiveness. But it's basic to who we are in Christ. If we want to be forgiven, then we forgive. even when it's hard. You know, God forgives us instantly, not, let me think about it. Let me savor this for a little while in my anger. Completely. It's not like your dishwasher that kind of partly does dishes, hate that. And freely and unconditionally. You know, it's not by what I do, but it's ultimately by what he has done for us. And we extend grace because we need grace. We struggle to give grace because we struggle sometimes we struggle to accept grace or understand our own sin. You know, but forgiven people forgive other people. Jesus invites followers to die to themselves. And that means you no longer live. Christ lives in you. Now, you are alive, and it's hard, but it's this process of allowing the Holy Spirit to change us that we live this new way. And so we pray, to forgive, forgive them. Forgive me I can't even say it right now. When we pray, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us, are we really praying that, or are we just saying that? When we pray it, that means then we live a different way because of it. You know, our whole faith, this Christianity, following Jesus, is based on forgiveness. And when we're forgiven, then forgiven people forgive other people. It's a struggle, but you got to work through it. If we really want to follow Jesus, it means praying like he taught us to pray, and then it means living like he taught us to live, and asking him for strength to love. For strength to forgive, strength to reconcile. If we pray like this, we need to live like this. You know, it's, I think, probably one of the, there's a lot of different ways that Christians live, that show who we are. And one of the most countercultural things, because there's some things in our culture, in our society that being a faithful believer and follower of Jesus is going to make you stand out. It's sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's your neighbors like it. Sometimes they think you're weird. Sometimes your boss is going to like it. Sometimes maybe not because you won't do certain things. But it's one of the countercultural things we do is just live by God's grace and extend it to others. It changes the way you relate to other people. If I forgive people, I can relate to them differently at work, right? It changes the way we react on the internet. I often tell you, be friends with someone who's not like you on the internet because I think, trying to understand them. I had to unfollow a guy this week, though, because he was just so negative and nasty and abusive, so I unfollowed him on Twitter. got that guy good. But anyway, but it changes the way we react to others on the internet. It changes the way we react when we drive. It changes the way we live when we forgive. And when we pray like this and live like this, ultimately we'll see people restored. We'll see relationships restored. People who you never thought you could be friends with again, you can in Christ because you can forgive. And ultimately we'll see people transformed by his grace. If we live like this, if we pray like this, let's live like this.